My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Have been playing baseball since they were five that are just much more skilled, and you know, putting them on the same field is dangerous.
Oh, like, God, yeah.
The rules are that you have to play, and so you put a kid at second base because he's, you know, got to play three innings, and you get some kid that's hit a growth spurt and barrels up a ball, it can do some damage. That's why the bat specifications are different for Little League than competitive league. And, you know, being up here at the training facility at DBAT, we have to explain that to people. Like, hey, if it says this on it, that is a bat that doesn't have as much pop. That is for recreational leagues. If those bats over there that don't say that have the different stamp, those are the bats the competitive kids use, where you see kids going to, like you said, the Cooperstown Field of Dreams. Those are travel teams, and they're all levels. And it's, you might face a team just absolutely loaded. You might face a team that just decided we're a double-A team and want to go up there. And, you know, people don't understand it's double-A, triple-A majors, and then there's like a showcase level, which is the highest of the high. But those kids can hit a ball at 12 years old with one of these bats like 350 feet, 325 feet. They can just crush it. And you got a kid that's never played baseball playing left field, and a kid hits a line drive. That's not going to end well. That's just when you have the bats that are juiced and kids like that. So, but I agree with you. It's amazing to me how they talk about volunteer umpires and all this, and how much money they're probably
making. It's like, yeah, they just pay them. Like, it's
By the way, you reminded me of that Cooperstown.
The umpires in the Germantown Baseball League, which is not Little League affiliated, they get paid. The kids get
Kevin
paid.
Kevin and I both umpire.
I'm a veteran of that league, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they get paid. Not much. What's up, Pat?
It's funny you mentioned that Cooperstown thing. I remember my youngest brother, I think he went in 2009.
Yeah.
And we played a team from California that flew in a pitcher the night before.
Oh yeah, no, it's vastly different now than it was then. Now you have, it used to be just 2 weeks.
Yes.
Now it's like all summer. Like, you know, my son was down in Fort Myers for an event through the Perfect Game organization, and two of the kids on his team that he got put on had just come back from Cooperstown, and one of the kids was leaving after Fort Myers, and they were literally flying to New York to go play in the Cooperstown deal with their travel team. So it's just spread out because you couldn't do all the teams that want to do it, and it's not cheap. So if you can raise the money and send your kids that your team to go and they pay for it, Cooperstown's like, yeah, we'll gladly host another week.
Barracks. Hurry on. Yeah, come on
no
out.
Problem. Yeah. No problem.
That thing
no
prints problem money. Whatsoever. All right, buddy, we appreciate it.
I appreciate you guys.
That is Eric Hasty, Memphis Grizzlies Radio Network play-by-play announcer. When we come back, we get into the list. We've got an update on the Malcolm Dandridge, I don't know, the cheating scandal, whatnot. We'll discuss that and more. Also, Jason Smith is going to join us during hour number two. Stick around.
Woo.
You're listening to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jeffrey and company make a list of the biggest stories, both good and bad, that we need to talk about. This is The List.
You just made the list!
Presented by Birdies 901, Memphis's place for virtual golf. The List on 92.9.
Malcolm Dandridge.
You just made the list!
This is from Jason Munns of The Commercial Appeal. The eligibility issue that prompted the university to withhold former Tiger basketball player Malcolm Dandridge for the final five games of the 23-24 season has been turned over to the NCAA. New athletic director Ed Scott told The Commercial Appeal on Wednesday he has been briefed on the matter, that the school has self-reported it to the NCAA, and the process is ongoing. Quote, from what I've heard, the university has complied the way that they're supposed to. That's my biggest concern as a new AD who wasn't here for any of that. I've heard some of the rumors and speculation. I don't know all the details, but to my understanding, we've given everything the NCAA they've asked for. On February 24th, the university announced Dandridge, who had played five seasons at Memphis, would be sidelined pending the outcome of an internal review of his eligibility status. Decision to keep Dandridge out stemmed from a potential academic misconduct, multiple sources confirmed to The Commercial Appeal. On February the 23rd, the school fired its men's basketball advisor, Leslie Brooks, according to a copy of her personal file obtained by The Commercial Appeal back in March. The file also contained a copy of Brooks's termination letter. So, I think this is, Kevin, this is one of those issues that I am very curious about, because this could be kind of a, not necessarily a nothing burger, but this could be like a Malcolm specific issue, or this could be, all right, was there, you know, lack of coach oversight? Like, could this somehow get back to Penny whatsoever?
Well, you know, you figure if it can get back to Penny, it will. You know,
correct,
that's for sure.
I would also think that was what the NCAA was looking for.
Just any route to Penny there.
The NCAA is very clear when they don't get somebody's scalp, they keep trying to go back to get somebody's scalp. Like that, they kind of operate that way. This, though, I feel like the way that it's worded from a university cooperation, that to me feels like, okay, this, they've probably avoided the doomsday scenario where this ends up, you know, jeopardizing the Penny Hardaway era.
Right. I don't think it will. And I'm looking at the, you know, the Ed Scott era, right? I'm looking at, all right, this guy's finally, he's been at work. This is still, he's in month one still, right?
Yes.
On the job, and we've torn down a big part of the football stadium already. He is now doing his best here to attempt to maybe put an end to this, you know. But, you know, he's giving everything they asked for.
This was the other quote from Ed Scott. From what I understand, it's a pretty close situation as far as they've gotten what they've asked for, and we're just waiting to hear back from them. From what I've been told and what I've heard is that the university is comfortable with how it's been handled, and because they held the young person out, they've done what they could when they could, or whatever or may not have occurred. Very kind of like administry, but to me that implies to me the school feels good about how they've handled it. And I mean, I guess it's still possible that Penny could receive another suspension, but I don't think that, because this was always really weird to me, this whole situation. Normally when you have a situation that is not as severe, you'll get the people behind the scenes, hey, off the record, here's what happened. On this one, it was just like radio silent. And, you know, that leads you to believe like, okay, maybe this is bigger than we think, but whatnot. To me, this implies that they feel pretty comfortable and that the punishment will be minimal. Let's go with Lane Kiffin.
You just made the list!
Yes, so John Talti and Armin Kataian have a new book that's coming out on Nick Saban. And Michael Casagrande of AL.com has received an early excerpt. And we have a tremendous story and anecdote that has been making the rounds as it pertains to Nick Saban and Lane Kiffin. A new book set to release next week offers some new context to their dynamic when Saban hired the cast-off head coach as Alabama's offensive coordinator in 2014, straight through the messy breakup at the end of the 2016 campaign. The insight comes to us from The Price, what it takes to win in college football's era of chaos. It's a new tell-all from Armin Kataian and John Talti, set to be released on August 27th. A chapter dedicated to sports agent Jimmy Sexton with the Saban-Kiffin relationship and Sexton's role in their union. The CAA agent reps both coaches, and according to the book, it was Sexton who encouraged Saban to offer the fading star a second chance after Kiffin was dumped at USC. Saban explained the hiring at the time as Alabama needing to modernize its offense at a time when the game was shifting from run-heavy pro-style to a wide-open, pass-happy attack. Quote, when I met with him about coming here, I said we have to change. We have to study, and we have to figure out all these RPOs, all these spread offenses and these motions and the things that we do. And Lane's a really smart guy, so he was a good guy to really dive into this. While Saban at the time tamped down speculation that their contrasting styles was creating friction, the book offers insight to what might have caught, offers insight into what could be a caustic relationship. One such moment came when Kiffin called Sexton, warning him that an angry Saban was about to call. Why? The offensive coordinator told the head coach, quote, he didn't know what he was talking about, end quote, in a meeting. True to form, Saban's less than cheerful call came within minutes. That son of a bitch, Saban said to his agent, according to the book, I'm going to fire you, Jimmy, for ever talking me into hiring that narcissistic prick. The agent, who does rep a solid majority of SEC coaches, had to talk Saban down that day, but the two would continue to have their moments. The book quoted a Saban conversation with another former assistant about Kiffin being the only assistant who constantly questioned Saban and, quote, refused to adapt to Saban's preferred approach. I ain't never had an effing coach I can't control, a disgruntled Saban told his assistant. The book chronicles one such phone call, which Kiffin made just hours before the 2015 kickoff in Tuscaloosa of November. The offensive coordinator called his agent to ask about a head coaching position that was coming open. Sexton was enraged. I was screaming at him. Let's go play the game today. Let's win the game today. If you win games, you'll get a job. People don't hire guys who are losing. They hire guys that are winning. Calling before kickoff. Hey, can we get a job? also, this recounted one of my favorite moments. I totally had forgotten about Kiffin getting the FAU job, and then Bama was still in the playoff. They played Washington in the first game, and their offense was pretty clunky, and Saban just told him to get out of there. He was technically supposed to coach the whole playoff, and after the first semifinal, he's just like, you can leave now.
That makes even more sense with this context. I mean, it was bound to happen. The idea that Lane was the only one, Nick always had, Saban had some of the best, assistant coaches there. And to be successful, you got to have that leadership quality. The fact that he never lost control of anybody else or that didn't listen to him sounds not accurate, but at least they're telling the story right now about Lane. And I don't know if it's because of who he is or his position or what, but I don't feel like he's the only one who didn't listen.
When you consider how long he's been coaching, that seems to be the case.
And just the people we've had, like the guys who have gone on to be successful, you got to be a leader. You can't just be the student of Nick Saban. Like, you have to show something.
I think the way that I would phrase it, though, is Lane Kiffin is the exact type of person that would irritate
Nick Saban. His way of going about it, the way he would go about it, I could see, would be the problem.
Do you remember when Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks had the rivalry? It reminds me of that in the sense of, like, Bryson probably represented everything about golf that irritated Brooks. Like, to me, the way Lane Kiffin lives his life probably irritates Nick Saban. Like, he's not on time. He's not particularly organized, whatnot. But he's very good at what he does. But that's just going to be water and oil compared to how Saban wants to do things.
Yeah. He definitely goes about a different way. I've got to miss it. This is part of, like, we're looking, it's week zero this week. But, I mean, we've got no Nick Saban on the field. But we've got these books coming out, and we're going to see them on television more. I wonder if we're going to get any type of signs of what he believes about some of these guys.
I think that's more than fair. Let's see. I guess let's go with Kirk Ferentz.
You just made the list!
All right, so Kirk Ferentz will be suspended for the first game. Why might you ask? Well, tampering. Adam Rittenberg of ESPN. Iowa football coach Kirk Ferentz and assistant Jay Budmaier are suspended for the Hawkeyes' season opener as part of a self-imposed penalty for recruiting violations in late 2022. Ferentz, the longest-tenured coach in FBS, who has led Iowa since the 1999 season, admitted to a Level 2 violation for contacting a player and family prior to his entering the transfer portal. Quote, I frequently tell our players to abide by the rules, and in this instance, I did not, Ferentz said in a statement issued Thursday. In 26 years as a head coach at Iowa and more than four decades as a coach, this is my first potential Level 2 NCAA infraction. I made a mistake and would like to apologize to our players, university leadership, and our Hawkeye football fans. Iowa did not identify the player, but sources told ESPN that it is quarterback Cade McNamara, who transferred to Iowa from Michigan 3 days after formally entering the transfer portal. Also, in the same vein, we had Chuck Martin, who's the head coach of Miami of Ohio, complaining that Alabama illegally recruited our kicker and stole him from us. That's a fact. Also, Miami of Ohio has submitted, I guess, the complaint that they were indeed tampered with. I guess the thing is, like, how do you get caught doing this? Like, because everyone is tampering in the portal. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, the joke is it's the tamper portal, not the transfer portal. Like, to me, the only thing that makes sense is, like, Michigan called and complained. But at the same time, if you're Michigan, you know you're playing J.J. McCarthy. I get you want to keep some depth with McNamara, but it's like, all right, man, like, are you really? I guess it does. That kind of makes sense. Harbaugh would complain about that. When Harbaugh has everyone coming down right. for him with all the cheating, I guarantee he was
throwing.
He was slinging stones.
Hey, what
as
about
well.
This guy? What yeah. about this guy?
Well, Iowa cheated on our quarterback that wasn't playing. That one feels great to me.
Iowa, the team that David Cobb told us yesterday, he's picking, right? He's picking.
He's low key high on. It really comes down to, do you think that they're going to be better on offense? And it's like, I don't know, man. I feel like we keep asking, like, is Iowa going to be good? Is Iowa going to be good in offense is like a question we'll just be asking in perpetuity. I was thinking about it this way.
They've had the same coach since 1999. He's been there. Like, that is, he's the Greg Popovich of college football.
Dude, he's probably the most powerful person at the school.
How many Liberty Bowl appearances did he have? Was it always Iowa State?
Iowa State. I've always wondered, do you think it would be fun being an Iowa football fan? Because in reality, they're always pretty darn good.
That's a great question.
They do play a style of football that is personally offensive to me. Like, last year, 10-4, 8-5 the year before, 10-4 the year before, 6-2 during the COVID year, 10-3, 9-4, 8-5, 8-5, 12-2.
I like the logo, I like the look.
Good colors.
You can wear that, right?
I just don't know.
The style of play, definitely.
I just don't know if I can watch that week in, week out. But I guess at a certain point, it's like, eh. It's a style of play that, like, is probably by necessity.
No, their last game was against Tennessee. They were
Bowl. Yeah, that was like one of the easiest bets of bowl season, because, like, as soon as Tennessee scored the second time, you're like, okay, this is over. There's no chance Iowa could score twice.
They did not have a great year last year, but.
They had a 10-4 Citrus Bowl year in which I don't remember them having a big win.
Right.
I'm trying to – I want to double check on that. All right. The wins against Utah State, Iowa State, Western Michigan, Michigan State, Purdue, at Wisconsin, 15-6.
They got shut out by a lot of teams.
So gross.
They got shut out. We're talking about zero today. They scored 0 points in many games.
That Northwestern game at Wrigley Field went to the half 0-0. That was a work of art.
Yeah, they should play week zero.
Well, that's kind of the other question, is week zero slowly but surely becoming week one? The Saudis.
You just made the list!
Yeah.
Uh-oh, I am no part of this.
Here we go. Former Colorado special teams coordinator Trevor Riley, who resigned ahead of the Buffaloes fall camp, told Sports Illustrated that disagreements with Colorado's administration over the handling of the program's name, image, and likeness strategy drove him to move on from his position. In his resignation letter, dictated to Sports Illustrated, Riley claims that he tried various avenues to raise funding, including a trip to Saudi Arabia to meet with a public investment fund, which established LIV Golf and is a part of an investment group that owns the Premier League club, Newcastle United. Quote, "You pay me $90,000 a year and you let me handle special teams. If I did all this work in your name and was told to pursue it, I burned through all my contacts in the Mormon community, which is worth about $3 trillion. God, good for them. Now I can't get these people to answer my calls because I just found out today that none of my endeavors will happen. I even went to Saudi Arabia and got a meeting with the Saudis who were interested in pursuing business. I have email receipts to prove it, and you guys let it fall flat on its face." So, to me, this is the thing that I find interesting. With the exception of LIV Golf, which is lighting money on fire from the public investment firm, but I think I have always believed this is, they knew they were going to have to light money on fire, but that was their path into the world of golf, which is a world that they want to be in from a business and deal-making perspective. They want to be a part of that world. So there's kind of a sunk cost. I would be curious to know why would they get involved with name, image, likeness? Because name, image, likeness is like, it's not like, okay, you're investing in these guys, and if they go get a pro career, they have to give you some kickback. Like, it's not an investment. It is a donation. That doesn't make sense to me that why they would want to be in this. But to me, and again, this is Riley's claim, that implies to me, like, he thought he had the money.
Well, look, here's what the Saudis, and I've been following this for a while, being in the world of professional wrestling, and that because the Saudis started with wrestling, right? The sports washing started with professional wrestling, and they teaming up with Vince McMahon.
I think they're, well, I think F1 was first. They had like they also were involved in like other sports that we don't think about or
right.
care about. But
on a national
stage. I think it's fair to say to the American audience, the first one was wrestling. I think that's fair.
High-profile events. Could we see a week zero game being played in Saudi Arabia is where I'm getting to. Like, could this, how far away is week zero? It seems like they're interested in college football is what this makes me think. And it's like, okay, week zero, great time. You're going to travel to Saudi Arabia and the teams are going to play each other. And it's going to, they're going to do some more sports washing, but in the college football world.
It's a little bit different, but Qatar, which also has their own human rights record, that's not exactly shining. They are funding one of the preseason, did you remember reading about that preseason basketball or whatever, early season multi-team event in Vegas where the kids are going to get paid? There's like an appearance fee, like, it's like $500,000 for playing in it, and I think the winners...
Is that happening? That's happening...
I think it happens this fall.
Okay.
Well, that's being funded by Qatar, so like it's already happening. I guess the only thing...
Well,
I feel like the sports washing argument falls a little bit on deaf ears for me, because I think it kind of works. I feel like we know more about quote-unquote sports washing when we actually do the events with the Saudis. Like, I feel like it brings up more attention rather than when we just let them go in obscurity. Like, I feel like we know more today about the bad things that Saudi Arabia has done than we did before LIV Golf.
Yeah, some of it works against it.
Correct.
But also, it probably works for some people. Some people, just because we see a meme that's got false information on it and we laugh at it, but, you know, somebody's mom might see it on social media and think it's true. So, like, I do think... when they're putting out so much information and there's the distrust out there, like if somebody's tuning in to a football game in Saudi Arabia, they could easily be influenced. Hey, nothing's wrong. This is great. Look at this. And they'll buy into whatever video that's playing that's saying how we let women drive sometimes now. Isn't that great?
Without throwing acid in their faces.
Right.
Yeah.
And they do that now. Isn't that lovely?
Like, we have... X number of days, we have the poster, like X number of days without killing a gay person.
Exactly. So they don't say it in those terms when they're showing these, you know, how great it is to live in Saudi Arabia. So I think some people could be influenced. While there is, yes, people who are reading about it and want to challenge the thought about it, it definitely brings attention to us, and because it does make some people angry.
It could
easily convince a college football person who never thinks about Saudi Arabia, and their only thought will be that they're going to watch Colorado versus Michigan in Saudi Arabia, and I'm like, oh, that's not bad. Look at that,
college football,
right? And it's just one game a year, you know. It's like it could start with that.
I mean, it is very obvious to me...
Or they could have a bowl game or something.
It is very obvious to me that college football, and we're even seeing it a little in the NFL now. Do you see where they're starting to meet about what do we do about private equity?
Yeah.
Because they've not allowed it now. I think they're going to let it in a minority stake, but they're running into the problem. Hey, as the value of our franchises keep going up and up, the number of people that can buy these at this price is shrinking, so we're probably going to have to go tap into these markets to keep the values going up. It does seem to me, though, that colleges, and it's more specific, I think, for certain schools, but like they're actively seeking other ways to raise money, and this is going to be a way.
Yeah. It's definitely a way. It seems like we could be seeing so much more of this very, very soon, because happened in sports that from wrestling into golf. Like golf, this didn't seem like... This one is the one where money is new, like, right? This is a new thing.
Oh, yeah.
That's like, you could jump in, and everybody's trying to get it, and they're finding out they are not getting as much, or somebody else is getting more, and they've got to figure out new strategies.
We know, I laughed at everyone jumped on. There was a story a couple of months ago about the Big 12 accepting a title sponsor for the league. So whether I can't remember if it was going to be like Southwest or whatever. Maybe Southwest is now the official airline of the SEC or something. But whoever the title sponsor was, it was going to be that company 12-team conference.
Right.
And people were laughing at that. But the bigger story was they were actively seeking private investment. Like, they were seeking private equity to have an ownership of the conference, like a stake.
Yeah.
Like, so
that doesn't seem smart, but
I'm always, whenever private equity comes in, man, I'm just, because they have a playbook, baby.
Right, exactly.
Slashing, just start slashing. And, like, they're going to make money. Like, that's part of it. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk with Jason Smith. Let's talk some Grizz. Let's talk some Tigers. We'll do that next with him right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Jason, do we think the full extent of the law is going to come down on our 42-year-old Hernando man who stole Penny's exclusive phone posits?
I don't know. Will Penny extend grace? You know?
That feels like the question, right? Like, if Penny wants to go light, he can. Like, I feel like that's the real question to me.
The details are going to matter, you know, how deep this runs, what kind of operation it was. Was this just a guy who was literally, you know, just peruses rich neighborhoods and takes packages from outside the gate because he figures there's something valuable in there? I don't know, but I think it'll all, in terms of, I don't know, my guess is you do it to probably fullest extent of law, Jeffrey, because one thing this is for MPD, it's a chance to say, hey, we get things done quickly. And again, yeah, I mean, obviously what they would tell you is, listen, we work like this for everybody, for all of the city. But the point is, you went and got it done for one of the city's sons, favorite sons, and that's a good look. And I think it's part of the reason why you saw it tweeted. I can't recall. John pointed this out. He was the first to see the tweet. I cannot recall the last time I saw them tweet about a, you know, pretty essentially, I know it's a Class E, but a simple theft here for the most part. So clearly they were, you know, patting themselves on the back. And look, to get to the bottom of it that quickly, that is good. You just hope it's being applied across the board. But yes. For them, hey, we went out and we cracked the case. And so from that standpoint, for that reason, maybe they do push it to the extent of the law. So, you know, it's a good look for everybody involved. Or, you know, I'm still, and I listened to y'all earlier on, but I had to run off to some business real quick. So I don't know if y'all got back to it, but Penny was saying he told WREG 26 pairs. The incident report says 14,
right?
Which is significantly less. Were there more that haven't been recovered? Have these been recovered? I'm still interested to hear more details on just how much he got and sort of the value on these things.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know
more than what Munns has got on that 2100 in terms of these are exclusive. I know I'm not speaking of number of shoes. The 14 is what the incident report had, but I just got to believe that the value of these things, being that they weren't for sale, you know, and Nike had made them exclusively, obviously, for Penny, maybe a little bit higher than the 2100. But, again, who knows? But hopefully we'll get some more details on that, why this went down and how it went down.
Yeah, I don't know, because Kevin had mentioned 26, and now that you say that, I do remember the WREG story from a couple
that
of nights.
That was from Penny.
Yeah.
Yes, that came directly from Penny. That's why I pointed out that it was 26 pair.
And so maybe this is 14 were recovered?
Perhaps.
But yeah, I would feel like that would be noted, right? 14 of the 26 or something. I feel like that would be noted.
Or Penny maybe exaggerated a little bit so we get the police on it. We get the police on it quickly. You know what I'm saying? 26 a lot more than 14. You know, either way, hopefully the, you know, problem solved. But, I am. You got ESPN weighing in. You know, Penny's phone posits get stolen off his porch. There's not a more Memphis basketball story than this one right here.
Well, it's also kind of a tough look for when the DeSoto County people like to claim all their crime comes from Memphis. It's like, hey, guys.
Oh, you're right. I mean, don't do that.
I hate to say it, I kind of gave a fist pump just like I did when I saw when Hideki got robbed, and then I clicked on the story last week, and I was like, yes, London, not in Memphis. Exactly. So I was like, yes.
Hernando man.
Yes.
Exactly. It's supposed to be all us going down there and ruining y'all's lovely DeSoto County and everything.
Yeah, now you know how the other half live,
Yeah, y'all bring into some of our best neighborhoods in Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like, yeah, cut. Yeah, we got to we got to crack down on these kinds of people.
Did he, so what's your theory? Did he bring the shopping cart here to push it around it? Like, where were those photos were taken in Memphis, right? Like,
well, they were on Central Avenue.
Yeah. So does he have it stashed for his operation when he comes to Memphis, or did he push it all the way from Mississippi?
Was it in his car?
This is a great question,
Cerrito. Yeah. This is why I'm interested about more details, because it looks like from those pictures, one of them looks like he's standing outside of perhaps a Walmart wall and taking that shopping cart. One of them looks like he's standing in his own yard. But back to the other point, no, like if he had gone to Walmart, pulls this thing out, I'm imagining he's got some other form of transportation to get it there and then into the neighborhood. And I'm kind of envisioning this guy going shopping, you know, in that central Goodwin, that neighborhood. A lot of those gated houses, dude, that whole area is nothing but rich folks. And so I'm sort of imagining this guy taking the shopping cart, whether it's by truck or whatever, into the neighborhood, and then going through there like the Grinch, man, and picking out whatever he wants. And I'm going to be honest with you guys. Maybe he feels so, you know, brazen about it that, you know, hey, I'm a white guy in a rich neighborhood. In this case, with a shopping cart, nobody's going to call me in. I mean, unless he's just simply Looney Tunes, how else can you explain it? The guy looked extremely cool doing it. I just know that, I mean, if you'd had somebody, you know, somebody else out of there, somebody you're bringing over from Binghamton to push around, I'm telling you, that would have got shut down. That would have got called in fast by the neighborhood watch.
But that's still a shopping cart with a ton of boxes
And I would also point out, while he is white guy, that is not the white guy that'd be welcome in that neighborhood.
Bro, I'm telling you, how come we didn't get more calls on this guy? Clearly, he felt like he had, as my man Paul Mooney used to say, the complexion for the protection to be able to pull that off that neighborhood and get up out of there.
There's no question, anyway, he's super casual, but my first thought was it did get called in, but like a lot of stuff that's happening, it gets called in, no one really does anything about it, and then as soon as Penny starts talking about it, we find out it's Penny Hardaway, all of a sudden stuff got done.
Listen, man, stuff got done, and that's important, because if you recall, Penny Hardaway several weeks ago was very frustrated, you know, with the way that fans and criticism of the job, or the way fans were grading what they say of the job he's done. He was on edge. I mean, we've seen a calmer Penny since out at, you know, the Pro-Am and TPC Southwind. But the point is, you know, you didn't need Penny any more rattled than he already is going into what's an already critical season. And so thank God we could get these shoes back for him so he can focus on basketball.
Yeah, I mean, this had to be a massive distraction, right? I mean, you can't even think about your team, right?
They were big enough that he's reporting it. You know what I'm saying? They were important enough to him that he's reporting it as a distraction enough that he wants these things back. So, absolutely, I'm glad we can finally put this thing to bed. And, again, I've had some people that have said, like, literally, that seem to know a little bit more on this already than what's been reported, keep saying you're not going to believe all of this. So I'm hopeful that means, because they keep on alluding, like, there's going to be some more details about this thing that,
well,
you know, that,
I mean, the,
keep us
the,
talking
the
about
amount
it,
of boxes,
really
the amount of boxes to me suggests more than just the shoes, right? Like, that looked like a ton of stuff.
Perhaps. I mean, I don't have the picture in front of me. I'm driving, but was it three boxes ultimately or four?
Well, and then I couldn't tell if there was like something, if there was something actually, because they're stacked.
There were three and something under it.
Yeah, I thought there was maybe one under, like in the actual shopping cart, but the other ones are kind of stacked up high. But I think it's also safe.
Can you explain the backpack?
Yeah, he had a backpack on.
You know, I think he used that to at least throw off my partner to believe he was homeless. John thought from the backpack photo that my man was homeless. So maybe he even used that to throw us off the scent of who he was or his residence down in Hernando. Again, it's you know, we there are so many still unanswered questions, guys. I don't know what else to tell you.
Yeah, I'm going to go out on a limb and guess probably not a Mensa member. I think that's probably where I would start.
That's not one of his tattoos.
No, I do not think that. Kevin and I were talking. Do we think at any point, like, do we think he knew that he was stealing from Penny Hardaway? Because I made the argument, I think if you know you're stealing from Penny Hardaway, that makes you, I would be a little bit more apprehensive for the exact reasons that we're seeing play out. Like, if Penny makes it public, like, it's going to get fixed.
You know what? I mean, it's a great question. I would lean towards no. I would lean towards again, this guy probably knew the neighborhood. This is probably not the first time he's done it, is my guess.
I mean, yes.
That was my first question for John in terms of if I'm the police, I'm asking Penny Hardaway, you know, has this happened before? Where I, and keep in mind, this is not, you know, this is not at his door either. I mean, there's a gate. To my understanding, I've seen pictures of there's a gate with that home. And in this case, these packages were left outside the gate, is my understanding. Whereas in a lot of these cases, a lot of these those rich gates, right?
Yeah, they let them in.
Walk through, they let them in and everything else, and you can put it right on the porch. So I will say that it doesn't seem like, at least it doesn't seem like, from my view, like the delivery service did him any favors by leaving it right there at the gate. And but back to the point, no, I'm guessing it's not so much him knowing Penny's house, although, you know, that it's another theory, as much as it is him knowing this is a rich neighborhood that I can go hit, and I'm about to take my shopping cart, you know, through it and go on a shopping spree here. Like, my guess is he's done this before in that neighborhood and just knows, hey, you know, whether it's Penny's house or whatever, these are going to be valuable items, you know, maybe in a lot of cases, because they're going to rich people right around there.
I'm looking at the Channel 3 story, and his name is Ronald James. So at the very bottom is they have a typo on there.
Two first names?
But the sentence goes, James Bond has not been... James Bond has
James
not...
James is...
I mean, seriously, can we get any more headlines? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like headlines or grabs
his Bond
or things
has
of memes
not
off,
been
off
set.
Of this thing. It's hilarious.
I do love how Penny gets his shoes stolen and Patino gets a expensive bottle of wine stolen. Although...
It really is. Like, you could play a game of list the coach. What would be the item you would, like, match them with? What's their item?
You know how much I love, like, when things make sense. Like,
those all match up.
Patino, although I've now talked myself into, I'm wondering if Rick tried to pull a fast one on everybody. And it's like, they stole my wine that's worth $100,000. Oops. Because the other stores, that airport's like, well, it's $375 worth of memorabilia.
No, I would not put that past Rick whatsoever. Whatsoever, you know, and for me, whether and maybe it's the home cooking.
Yeah.
But for Penny, you know, shoes stolen, we got to go get them back. For Rick Pitino, a bottle of wine stolen, it's kind of like the fist pump. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Way to get him. Way to stick it to the man.
All right, we're gonna let you go, buddy.
All right, y'all take care.
That is Jason Smith. We've got to be on time today because I was requested by Connor to keep us on time. So we're going to do that. We're going to stay on time. We're not going to be late. You're going to get right to the Gabe Kuhn Show at 4 o'clock. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we tell your story next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Kevin, for today's Tell Your Story, we could go with Juvenile, who apparently was removed from first class on an American Airlines flight, and then he tweeted out on social media, F American Airlines. I just agree with him. I think that's a statement of fact. Like, of all the legacy carriers, by far my least favorite of the legacy. Anytime you hear someone's flight was canceled or delayed, my first question is American. Everyone's like, "How did you know?" It's like that's what they do. But I think I'm going to go instead with Justin Fields when he was asked about this number one starting spot. I think I've shown what I can do. I think the time that I did have with the first team practicing in training camp, I think it went well. I think we grew a lot each and every day, and by the end of the day, but at the end of the day, it's not up to me. I mean, I'll say this, for not scoring any touchdowns, like, it's at least more fun to watch than it is to watch Russell Wilson play, so I guess I can meet him halfway. Shown what I can do. I love that one. Shown. Have you? are we sure? I want to thank Eric Hasta and Jason Smith for joining the program. If you missed anything, it'll be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For Dennis, for Kevin, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show with Connor's coming up next.
Stay connected with 92.9 FM ESPN. Catch up anytime with all things Memphis. Never miss a moment on 92.9 FM ESPN with the free Odyssey app. Unsportsmanlike ESPN Mornings.
Chris Canty on 92.9.
Jeff Calkins, Jason and John, Jeffrey and Company. The Gabe Kuhn Show.
Gabe Kuhn on 92.9 makes my commute so much better.
Anytime with Rewind. Smart speakers say play 92.9 ESPN.
I love listening to sports in Memphis with 92.9 on Odyssey.
Memphis' number one place for sports. This is WMFS-FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, flagship home of the Memphis Grizzlies. 92.9 FM, ESPN, and Odyssey Sports.
sandwich station.
At Zaxby's, sauce is boss. That's why we're making new ones all the time. Like our brand new honey chipotle sauce. It's sweet and smoky. With honey, chipotle peppers, and spices. Perfect for dipping, dunking, and drizzling on chicken fingers, wings, fries, and more. Hey, if you got it, sauce it. I bet we're even making another new sauce as we speak. But, let's keep this sweet and smoky, shall we? New honey chipotle sauce at Zaxby's. Woo! Saucy! Zaxby's.
Howie, we talk about how Robert Irwin Jewelers is different. Tell me about the RIJ way.
We just listen to our customers.
Like what?
Like the meant-to-be guarantee.
That's 365 days to return your custom-made engagement ring, right?
Exactly. And that happened because we had a customer, a young man, spent over $14,000 in our store. And after 6 months, they broke up, and we gave him his money back. That's the RIJ way.
That's how the meant-to-be guarantee started?
That's exactly how it started, Danny. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices. Robert Irwin Jewelers or online at rijewelers.com.
Are you ready to make this the summer event rockin', Ronnie? Because the place to buy is Gossett Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Fiat on the Pike.
I'm ready, Randy. Check this out. A 2024 Jeep Compass Sport, four-wheel drive, $27,090 or $398 a month.
2024 Jeep Compass Sport 4x4, $27,090 or $398 a month.
Or take your pick, a 2023 Dodge Challenger RT or a 2024 Ram 1500 Quad Cab Tradesman, two-wheel drive, $38,990 or $579 a month.
Rockin' Ronnie says drive past the rest and come to the best at Gossett Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Fiat on the Pike. Or shop us anytime online at GossettMotorCars.net.
If you want it, we got it at Gossett Motorcars.
All 75 months at 7.99 Ram and Challenger 5,000 down, Jeep 4,000 down, Challenger PH 574221 MSRP 52315, Jeep RT 1738.69 MSRP 28,090, 0% for 36 months, Grand Cherokee and Wrangler. Price includes all rebates and incentives and excludes PF 695. All exclude tax, title, and license with approved credit. See dealer for complete details.
Whether you own a local business or a global one, you know that these days, generating growth is a challenge. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll not just stay ahead of the curve, you'll move it. With access to experts, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter, locally and globally. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do?
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.